Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, July 12, 2019, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 39, and we'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins with, "That may be true of certain non-alcoholic people." Today's readers are Bernie W. on the 12 Steps, Connie K. on the 12 Traditions, Des M., Penny L.C., and Kara L. We have Janice P.M. who will greet newcomers and Janice O. who will give announcements after our recording is stopped at the end of the meeting. The OA the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, which would be July 9th, is 13130. And the number for today's 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is for July 10th is 13133. That's 13133 for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting and 13130 for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Bernie W. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, thank you for letting me do service. My name is Bernie W. from Pennsylvania, recovered compulsive eater from by the grace of God. The 12 steps. One, we admit it, we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and for the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bernie W. And I will now ask Connie K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Connie K., compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
And thank you very much, Hari K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topics. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 39, and we are reading and commenting on the first paragraph, and I will now ask Des M. to please begin reading.
Hi, good morning, Elaine. Thank you. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. All right, so that may be true of certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate because their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were. But the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. This is a point we wish to emphasize and re-emphasize, to smash home upon our alcoholic readers as it has been revealed to us out of bitter experience. Let us take another illustration. All right, so super powerful. Like we see in the italicized in the Big Book, that's like they're emphasizing and re-emphasizing that if you're a true compulsive overeater like I am, we're absolutely unable to stop eating on the basis of self-knowledge. And I love that we've been reading more about alcoholism. I've gotten so much out of it. Self-knowledge avails me nothing. And from the shares and the reading this month, or last month, I've just gained so much knowledge about the fact that it's a program of action. And with the action, I also need to understand just exactly the malady that, they're talking in the paragraph about. To me, it stood out about brains and bodies. So my body is irregular because I have this allergy to my compulsive foods. So once I put down my alcoholic foods and figured out what those were with my higher power, a sponsor, a nutritionist, then I could be clear of that allergy. But then my brain, like I can have been identifying in with everyone's shares, it has this mental obsession. And it just came to me this morning when I was reading that line, their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were, because I had a spiritual malady. Like I have a spiritual damage. And some people may be normal eaters, that they're whatever is their story, their weight fluctuates or whatever, they need to look nice in a dress, whatever the deal is. but it doesn't matter. And I've been just being reminded of it. Just yesterday at work, we were talking about going to a work lunch, and you know, people are curious because I eat some things but not others. And just knowing that I don't need to talk about my disease with people that aren't in program necessarily, because I could rationalize possibly, but I need to come to my fellows to be reminded I have this spiritual malady. For me, I've conceded it to my innermost self, and you know, I have the allergy and the obsession, and I just get to keep doing this work and showing up and being of service and doing things that frighten me, like sharing this morning, you know, just the keep doing the steps, right? Because my best ideas got me sick. So I'm just really super grateful to be able to be of service, and I can't wait to hear what everyone else has to say. So with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Des M. Okay, who would like to comment on that first paragraph on page 39?
Freedom H. Freedom H.
I hear you, Freedom. I'm sorry, Freedom's the only person I've heard. I think I heard Hannah.
Yes.
Danielle F.
Danielle.
Barb.
Mag C.
Barb and Mag.
Miriam Rifta H.
I think I
heard. Deborah S.
I heard a gentleman's name.
That's Bruce E.
Bruce D. Thank you. And Deborah. I think that's all I can take for this round. So let me tell you who I've got. And I'm going to need all of your initials of your last name, please, except Brucey, I think, and Freedom H. Okay, so Hannah, Danielle, Barbara, Mag C, I believe, Bruce, and Deborah S. So let's give a start with that, and Freedom H, you are up first. And if you're not Freedom, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Hi, thank you so much for everyone's service. I'm very thankful for this meeting and the 12-step program and the higher power. This reminds me, this reading reminds me of my disease trying to trick me in this arrogant excuse of a way that I'm kidding myself if I think that I can use up excuses like this to continue on my behavior that's killing me. It's just a tricky, deceptive way. And some people are arrogant and they're not ready for change. I've dealt with people in my life that I try to help them out and they just don't want it and they don't want to hear it and they want to think what they want to think and you can't tell them anything else. But I got to think what I got to think. I got to do what I got to do for me now. Now's my time. I spent my whole life trying to, kiss everybody's rear ends and do everything for everybody else. And it didn't get me anywhere. It got me heartache. It got me almost death. But thankfully there's this book here, this Alcoholics Anonymous and this program, where people are talking life. People are talking healing and freedom instead of bondage. This is just keeping me enslaved and trapped to this disease. It's not healthy. It's not a healthy way to think that. Obviously, this person, to me, is not ready for the change, not willing to even admit there's a problem, or not willing to see what it is. And, yeah, everybody's different in recovery. I'm learning everybody has a different growth process. Everybody is a different place in recovery, and that's okay. But I know where I'm at, and I know where I need to be, and I know what I need to do. And I've got to keep doing that to get healthy and to get better. So with that, I'll mute. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Freedom H. Shlomitana, you're up next. And can you please give me the first initial of your last name?
Yes, it was Shlomitana B.
Okay.
Good boy.
Thank you so much. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much to the moderator and to the timekeeper and everybody doing service. And thank you for all the shares, and thank you every single person on this line. Boy, I really needed to hear that paragraph today. Totally. I don't have the book in front of me, so I can't remember exactly what I wanted to share, you know, which line stood out for me, but just the whole concept really is what stood out for me about the real alcoholic. The real alcoholic. The real alcoholic can't stop, just has lost that power to stop. And I am a real alcoholic with food, and you know what, in so many aspects of life. And when the food takes off, you know, I see that I just go down this spiral of destruction. It's like, you know, the whole spiritual malady just, you know, kicks in tenfold, a thousandfold. You know, it starts with the food and getting into that and just not being able to stop. And then all of a sudden, I'm up all night or half the night watching movies because, you know, the spiritual malady, the disease says, well, you've already blown it with the food, so you may as well just blow it with everything else and just, you know, get comfortable and just, you know, numb out with the movies. And then I'm useless the next day. And it just, you know, the disease just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. And I appreciate hearing about the spiritual solution because that's the only choice I have today. That's it. I cannot tell you exactly what my program looks like, to be quite honest. I've been struggling with relapse for about 4 months now, and making gains and then going behind and making gains and then, you know, taking a few steps back. And there is one thing that I know for sure, though. You know, I can't tell you exactly what my recovery is going to look like. That I don't know. But I do know that the only answer is God. That's it. Complete and total surrender. You know, whether I stay on my food plan or get on a different food plan or eat this kind of food or that kind of food, I don't know. I'm just really at a loss right now. But again, what I'm not at a loss for, sorry, that's my background noise, is that I must turn to God. I must. And I do that through
gentle reminder.
Connecting with fellowship, working the steps, and just being with God all day long. Thank you.
Thank you, Shlomit Hannah B. And Danielle or Daniel. Danielle, I think it was. May I have the first initial of your last name before you share, please? I thought I heard a Danielle. Okay. Then I was dreaming, and Barb, you are up next. And would you please give me the first initial of your last name?
Absolutely.
Maybe it was Barb.
Barbara E.
Barbara, wow. E. I didn't finish writing your name. I was trying to get somebody down so quickly. I'm like, that was Barbara. I know it was. Thank you so much, Barbara.
My hat's off to anyone who can write that fast. This is a great, great paragraph. I love the word smash. Beyond repair. Can't be mended with a strip of gold. My obsession that I could someday eat like a normal person had to be smashed. I had tried it over and over and over again, lost the weight, gained it, literally over 1,000 pounds, 9 times, gained it and lost it, gained it and lost it. I was like a boomerang, always coming back to smash me in the face. I would lie to myself, I'll start tomorrow. I'll start on National Diet Day, Monday, maybe the beginning of the month. My obsession was that at some time I'd be able to eat like a normal person, but I'm not normal when it comes to food. I can't stop once I've started. And I have an allergy to certain foods. I know I can't pick them up. My daughter has a lobster allergy. She carries an EpiPen. She never says, Well, today I think I'll try some lobster and see if I have to go to the emergency room. But I would do that over and over again, picking up foods that I know would harm me. This is a beautiful book. It's filled with lots of warnings, yes, but it's filled with lots of wonderful promises, too. Can be found on page 84. I just wanted those promises so desperately to come true for me. They were so wonderful. I wanted to be feeling joyous and free and less irritable. I wanted to be the wife and mother that my husband and children deserved. I wanted to avoid feeling resentful and self-seeking and dishonest, but I couldn't do it without you, my fellows, my sponsor, and of course this big book. So even though I came into program in 1997 and got abstinent through the tools, I had none of those promises. I did not pause when I was agitated. I was not relaxed waiting for the next right answer. I was always giving unasked for advice, and you know how that turned out. But I promise you, and I know all of you know this, this program works. I don't know how it works, but I don't care. I know it's a power outside of myself, not my sponsor, not my refrigerator, but all of you, me, and this book make a beautiful orchestra. So let's make some beautiful music together today. Thank you so much for allowing me this time. I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara E., for your eloquent share. Mag C., you're up next, followed by Bruce E. Please go ahead, Mag.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mag C. in Denver. And I absolutely love this chapter, more about alcoholism. And I think over the years, or the decades, I guess, my program has gradually morphed. When I first came in, I mean, this chapter was seriously my lifeline because I've read about people who were like me, and I read about instances that I could not figure out and other people could not figure out. You know, it didn't take a big thing. It didn't take a little thing. It just took a thing. And then all of a sudden, I was through an entire Costco cheesecake that I had frozen just in case, you know, that I had thought to go. I went after that the first night I got it. So for me, it's not necessarily my reaction to alcohol or my reaction to food. It's more like my reaction to life. Like how, that's the spiritual change. That's the key. That's that psychic change that Bill and the other 100 keep talking about is that they're by doing a program of action. And thank you that there is a program of action because I wouldn't know what to do. But there is this program, and you have to just do step one, step two, step three, step four, and get through that, and then do it again, and then do it again. I mean, I probably do maybe one, like, every year or two, just to kind of keep myself honest. But it's my reaction to life and my body's reaction to fear and anxiety, and that's kind of what I pinpointed, is that my safety is my utmost concern. And if I feel like my safety is threatened, whether it's financial, emotional, physical, and right now I'm trying to get a radical acceptance around the fact that I'm disabled. I'm disabled. I used to be a physician. Now I'm disabled. I retired in October. I came into program the next month because that freaked me out so badly. And it all links back to the fact that, geez, and this is where the women in the program for me come in so wonderfully. I actually reached out to people and we figured this shit out, is that I was thinking that if I wasn't a doctor, then why would anyone love me, especially? And I'm like, my parents think I'm kind of overly emotional, overly sensitive, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, how can I be if I'm a doctor? Now that I'm not, then what am I? And so it's really silly. It's really silly. And yet, that is a childhood groove that I have that I cannot unmake. But I can, by doing this program, I've been able to make it smoother. I just don't fall in every faltering step that I'm taking. I don't fall into that. But this was a big deal. Retiring was a big deal. Thank you. And so last week I had basically an emotional relapse, and then all these women were there to help me from the program. This book was there to help me, and my food plan is there to help me. So I'm so thankful for everybody's grace. Thank you so much, everybody. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mag C. Brucey, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Deborah S.
Yeah, thank you. Brucey, I'm recovered in North Carolina.
Hello, can anybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, Danielle, we can hear you. Oh, Danielle, you are here, aren't you?
Oh, okay.
Bruce, would you mind if we
have
Danielle go ahead? We tried to get her on the line a little earlier. Danielle, please do go ahead and share, okay? Press star 1 to mute. Okay, Bruce, why don't you go ahead, and Danielle, we'll have you come up right after Bruce, okay?
Okay.
Please go
Good
ahead.
Deal.
Please continue,
yeah.
Bruce. Thank you.
Bruce, thank you. Thanks for everybody on the line. And it's good. It's good. Great reading. Self-knowledge. Well, what did it get me? Well, it did get me. It's sort of the easier, softer way. It didn't get me recovered. What I know is what didn't it get me? Self-knowledge. It didn't get me recovered. It got me a little knowledge about food and calories and all this kind of stuff and food plans, and it got me a little bit of understanding about the disease. But again, so it was good, but it didn't get me recovered. And it probably got me, my ego pumped up a little bit, because I thought, you know, well, I know this, I know that. I heard this in a seminar, I read this, I know all this, so my ego pumped up, but then I went right back into the food. Well, what was the solution? What got me recovered was getting a recovered sponsor, working through the steps, and reading from the big book, starting with the doctor's opinion, finding out that I have an allergy and to alcoholic food. And when I ingest those foods, I have a phenomenal craving. And, you know, that had been going on for years, but I just was never able to put it together until I found out, in doctor's opinion, that's what the problem was. And the other one about the, other people can, you know, other people that are not addicts, they can do whatever they want. You know, I mean, anybody can do whatever they want anyway, you know, but I have to work this program, get on this line, stay, you know, call people, have a food plan and so forth. And that keeps me recovered. But the recovery, I think, is a gift. Thank you, God. And so other people can do a whole lot. They can eat those alcoholic foods that are alcoholic to me, but I can't. And I can't say somebody else is an addict either, because they have to determine that for themselves. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. Thanks for your share and your flexibility. Danielle F., you're up next, and then you'll be followed by Devorah. Thank you, Danielle and Devorah, for your patience and cooperation. So appreciate it.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you just great, Danielle. Thank you.
Okay. I have no idea what was going on. It just was not allowing me. Every time I did it, it would mute me again. And so I was like, thought you guys heard me. I'm so grateful that I actually got to listen longer, because just hearing some more things. I've shared before, I'm not new to recovery by any means, but I am newer to this program than your vision for you. And everybody, I've had so many phone calls, and it has been really wonderful because I am pregnant, and my husband and I are working on trying to figure out how to leave the country to go back home. And we feel very much in the dark. And when I'm scared, Yes, I have an eating plan, but it's amazing how quickly it just kind of goes to the side. And it's not that I go off of it. I just don't write it down, or I don't do something, and I find myself crabby. I just find myself crabby and cranky and upset. And as soon as I put all my food back down on that paper, it's such a simple thing. I mean, I've been doing step work for years. My husband and I do our talks. I go to meetings, but something about not having that as something to think about during the day, it's all there. It keeps me honest. I think it's just something accountable, self-accountability. And something I got also from this paragraph, and that I happened to be listening to before, and I'm not going to say where I got it from because it's not conference approved, but they were just talking about a certain level of healthy selfishness is something I had to learn in the program, meaning I take care of myself first. If I am happy and I am functional, I'm not trying to fix anybody else. I'm happy and I'm functional. I'm happy and I'm functional whether somebody in my family is crabby. I'm happy and I'm functional whether they're not crabby. I'm not trying to make my husband into somebody he's not, or trying to get him to fix something inside me or fix our lives. I'm not trying to get my daughter to comply because I'm feeling really upset and crabby and cranky and she's in a great mood and like, well, frankly, I want some more quiet. I mean, you know, that's all the crazy little crackly stuff. And I'd say generally I'm a very happy and free person when I am in that weird zone of self-centeredness, not selfishness, but self-centeredness. I am not a friendly person. I am very cranky. And albeit, yes, I'm hormonal, and I can make a million excuses for why my mood might be not 100%. I notice that I have great days, even pregnant, even sick, even uncomfortable, when I am okay and I am putting myself in that position to take really good care of myself. And I'm modeling it for my daughter because there's this terror inside me that I'm not giving my daughter the right tools. But I realize it's not because I tell her what to do, and I'm not that kind of parent anyway, but it's,
gentle
she sees
reminder.
Mommy, she sees mommy write my food down. It doesn't mean she's going to have to do that, but she sees me doing it. She sees me taking care of myself, and she sees me sane when I'm doing that. So it models a certain behavior of self-care that I love watching her, and she says affirmations, and she's three. We do affirmations every evening, and she does her own set, and sometimes I love dogs,
gentle
but it's
reminder.
Still my daughter. Thank you. And I'm going to say I pass, and I'd love to talk to people at some point, and I'm going to say thank you for your meetings again.
Thank you very much, Danielle. I'm so glad you were able to get on the line and share. Devorah S., you're up next, and after Devorah shares, we'll open up the line for more comments on the first paragraph on page 39, starting with "That may be true," of certain .. Please go ahead, Devorah.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much, Elaine. Good to hear you, and thank you everyone on the line that makes this meeting possible. So self-knowledge. Honestly, the only knowledge that I had was what other people told me. I didn't know any self. I didn't have people told me I had to lose weight. I've had high blood pressure, diabetes. You got to do something. The doctors, my family, everybody was just telling me what to do. And I tried. I really did. I really, really wanted to do that, but I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. I couldn't understand what is it. And then I got to a point where I just didn't care anymore. I just did not care anymore. But thank God, you know, I was led into these rooms because someone shared her experience with me, and that's huge. When one overeater, one alcoholic can share their experience with another in a beautiful way, in a gentle, kind way. Then I was able to hear. And, you know, today, the self-knowledge that I have, you know, about myself, I glean from you and from others from this book. You know, the doctor's opinion told me why I couldn't stop. And once I stopped, I couldn't stay stopped. So, you know, today I need to read every single day. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, we start with the doctor's opinion and we're still in, you know, we start with the Roman numerals and here we are on page 39 and it's still reinforcing that idea of the, you know, how our thinking gets us into trouble and our self-knowledge and, you know, all that, you know, everything just stems in the way I think. You know, all these pages, they keep reinforcing it and trying to smash it home in us because we forget. It's so easy for us to forget. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of this is that I need to constantly be remembering this. And the only way that I can remember is this and to be on task, if you want to say, is that I work these steps each day. I recommit with my higher power every morning. I have to reintroduce myself, reacquaint myself with God through step 11, you know, prayer and meditation. And throughout the day, you know, turning my will and my life over to this higher power and staying abstinent and not eating. I believe that that's God's will for me. You know, we talk, well, what is God's will? I mean, the first thing is that I believe that, you know, God doesn't want me to hurt myself with the food. I was sick from the food. I was grossly overweight. I couldn't move. I couldn't function. I didn't care about other people. I just wanted to just stay under my blankets and let the world go by, which I was doing for years. And thank God, you know, God has given me my life back, and this program has given me my life, you know, each day. Just to do these simple spiritual tools each day.
And to remind
you. And I'm just so grateful to have another day together and to, like someone said, let's play beautiful, beautiful music. I'm on. Let's go. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you to Devorah S. So we are reading and commenting on the first paragraph on page 39. We have time for about four people, I think, and then we'll see where we are. Who would like to
call? Carlita C.
My name is Eileen.
I heard Eileen, Carlisa C, and Eileen, I believe.
Eileen. Shannon O.
Irene. I got you, Irene. Thank you.
Okay.
Darian K. And
Shannon O.
Kenny L. Let's just go with these four. I'm sorry, it's a crowded line today, but that's good. It's a powerful reading. So we'll have Carlisa C., Irene B., Shannon. I'm not sure of the initial of your last name, and Penny L. C. Carlisa C., please go ahead, and if everybody else could mute your phone, we'll have a nice quiet line. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Carlisa C. I hope you were called for me. Great.
I was. Okay, it's not a real clear connection, so if you could speak up, that would be great.
Okay, let me see if I can.
Is that better?
That is better. Thank you so much, Carlisa.
Okay, thank you. Grateful addict in recovery, alcoholic in recovery, and definitely a compulsive eater in recovery. So I love these pages. I love them. And the reason I love them is that self-knowledge did avail me one thing. It brought me to my bottom. And that, I think, is what one of the things more about alcoholism is all about, helping us reach that point where we know with certainty that I don't know anything. And my best thinking got me into the problem that I've gotten into. Now, of course, it takes a long time sometimes to bottom out, and that's why we're encouraged to go out and, you know, if we think we got this, go out and do some more control to whatever. And so awareness becomes my friend. I sit in a lot of meetings where people say things like this: oh, well, I was off my substance for 100 days, and then I decided on the 101st day to reward myself with said substance. Now, I'll be listening and I'll say, oh my God, that's me. So I get to identify in absolutely with crazy and say, well, hopefully not me today. So I'm really glad for this line. I'm really glad that we are reading this book. And I know that one day at a time, through the maintenance of spiritual fitness, it won't be me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Carlisa C. Irene B., you're up next, followed by Shannon.
Good morning, and thank you for your wonderful service. I am Irene B.,
a recovering bulimic from Louisiana. This passage about self-knowledge not giving us the solution, I remember it used to frustrate me to no end. Because when I first picked up this blue book, the big book, I did not understand the book at all. And I just did not see the connection between this book and my recovery. Did not see it at all. And I thought all I needed was knowledge and some therapy and some processing. And that was going to give me recovery because I was hopeless. So when I read that knowledge alone wasn't the solution, I would even get angry because I thought that my solution was in knowledge. So that left me very stranded and very hopeless and very frustrated. And it turned me off towards this big book because in the face-to-face meetings, we just don't study this book. And then somebody at the face-to-face meeting told me about A Vision for You, and I started listening. And after listening to you guys for a while, I said, maybe there is something about this big book. And as I have gotten introduced to the program and learned more about it, I am just so ecstatic to know that it doesn't stop there. And I would look for the solution. You know, it's like the solution, the program, and I would read it and I wouldn't find it. But you guys make me understand what the program is and what the solution is. And I now live steps 10, 11, and 12. And with that, I found the solution. But actually, I needed that knowledge. I needed that information. That's part of the solution, but it is by no means the solution. You know, we can be a dry alcoholic if we achieve abstinence, but we want healing, and we cannot have healing without all of the steps. And without our connection to our higher power, that is my source. I rely on my higher power like my hair's on fire, because without them, I'm nothing. So with that, I will pass just saying that, yeah, knowledge alone doesn't give me the answer, but the whole book and the whole program and a connection to my higher power does. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, we have Shannon up next. And Shannon, if you could please give me the first initial of your last name, followed by Penny LC.
Hi, my name is Shannon O., recovered compulsive overeater.
Thank you, Shannon.
And I am reminded that in this passage that anytime I hear the word self, that most of the time I'm going to be in deep trouble. And any type of, when I'm into self of any kind, that means I'm pretty much running the show. And self-knowledge is important, but it's only good insofar as that I'm working in partnership with my higher power. This program has a spiritual solution. And for me, I came to discover that the solution was spiritual. And it was only at that time that I was able to become recovered and find my bottom after years of sitting in the rooms and going in and out of self, self-will, self-reliance, self-knowledge. And it says here, we wish to emphasize and re-emphasize that this has to be smashed. And it took me a long time for this to be smashed within me, because I constantly wanted to run the show. So, but I understand now that we have God-given natural instincts that in partnership with God, he gave us some self-knowledge. But when I use that outside of God and in operation, in full operation outside of God, I'm headed for some really hard, rocky times. And so that's what this passage is talking about, that self-knowledge, that for me, that puffed upness. And I could just see it. I can go in a meeting and think I have all this self-knowledge about the program, and then I'll realize it afterwards and feel bad about myself, and then I can go do some damage. And I know what kind of damage that can take if I'm not seeing my relationship with God in the proper instincts, the proper God-given instincts. So this paragraph is so important to me. And this book talks about how we have to get rid of selfishness and self-centeredness. We must, or we die. And I appreciate this book so much, bringing me from that bottom to the spiritual and to the daily spiritual practice. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you very much, Shannon. Oh, great timing. Penny Elsie, you're up next. You'll be our last share for today.
Thank you for your service, Elaine. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny Elsie, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And yes, this big book has taught me a lot. Recovery has taught me a lot. I've learned about the physical allergy, the mental obsession, the insidious insanity of my disease, and the fourth dimension. This gave me good understanding, but it wasn't enough. You know, it just wasn't enough. It doesn't matter what I know. It matters how I apply it, what action I take on a daily basis. I need to be surrendering my will, admitting my truth of powerlessness, doing my step work, seeking my higher power, and growing my spiritual connection. I simply need to be willing to take direction from a power greater than myself. But I also had to make sure that that power was one that I felt connected to. And so what was important to me is to make sure that I had to realize that the power, the higher power that I used to seek was one that I was not really truly comfortable with. If that power felt a bit distant, it felt a bit impersonal, and it felt judgmental. And so it wasn't until I was able to define for myself what my higher power needed to be and adjust my thinking about my higher power and realize, you know, what would work for me, coming to understand that there's a higher power out there for me that loves me unconditionally, that accepts me as I am, that does not place judgment, that will take me in my brokenness. And will guide me and show me the way as long as I'm willing to yield. And with that grace and that love, I can heal. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB, and everybody who shared and listened and participated in this meeting in any way. Thank you very much. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164. And Penny Elsie, would you please read A Vision for You? We're going to follow that with a serenity prayer. So please stay with us.
Thank you, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.